Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats, silence your cell phones, for you are now listening to Much Ado About Wrestling!
Adrenaline in my soul. This podcast will not be dull.
Yeah.
Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show that aims to explain all the comings and goings in the theatrical world of professional wrestling. I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and with me, as always, ascending up the Cody Vader right now, it's the American Nightmare, Tyler Ward. Tyler, how are you doing?
There's more than one wrestling podcast.
Well, ain't that the truth?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Yeah.
How are things?
Things are good. I feel like the listeners don't even need our normal update on how we're doing right now, because this got very close to being a emergency episode.
Yes.
Had we both had the night free, I feel like it would have been.
This was an emergency.
Yeah. Most of this episode is going to be about the news that Cody Rhodes has left AEW. And if we're the first people you heard that from, like, your head is spinning now.
Surprise, surprise.
We will get back to that. But is this the most shocking wrestling news in the past year, or is it still does this top CM Punk coming back? I feel like those are the two.
I don't think so. No,
the two biggest. Okay,
no, if we're weighing it against that, no, it's the biggest news of 2022. I'll give it that.
It's a young year. So once again, Cody Rhodes will be placed with a value under CM Punk. That will be a thing we talk about, I imagine, a lot in this episode. But we have one other news item that we're gonna knock out.
If this happens,
this will be
be bigger than Punk coming back.
It's funny, like three episodes ago on our podcast, in the news section, we wanted to talk about Cody Rhodes being a free agent, and that was like a news item that had come up, and we didn't spend that much time on it. And I think you said on there too, you were like, you know what, if this becomes a thing we need to talk about, we can talk about it.
Well,
and it sure did. So think about that when we're talking about this first news item.
Yes.
Which could have been a emergency episode all of its own. Steve Austin at WrestleMania.
Steve Austin?
What if I was like,
Texas
no,
Texas Rattlesnake?
Actually, what if I was actually like, actually no, the million, $6 million man. Steve Austin. yeah. So man, this is a weird one. Kevin Owens had a promo on Monday Night Raw this week where he took aim at the people of Texas, where coincidentally
it's KO versus Texas at Mania.
Yeah. Sounds like a terrible court case. This is where WrestleMania will be this year, by the way, at Cowboys Stadium in Dallas, Arlington, Texas. And this seems to have opened the floodgates of speculation and expectation that it will lead to a match with Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania. Stone Cold's last WrestleMania match, they're one and the same, was WrestleMania 19.
Ooh,
against The Rock.
Crazy.
He has been one of the few big Attitude Era wrestlers to like actually stay retired when they say they are retired. He has not had a match since then, although I guess we should note that his body was broken by the time that he was done.
Yeah
his initial run, like
he had already broken his neck.
Both of his knees were blown. There was a lot that was forcing him to retire. So a few years back on his Broken Skulls Sessions podcast in the WWE Network, Austin, I think, was being interviewed or was interviewing Paul Heyman, but Paul Heyman asked him the question, is there a match that would get you out of retirement? And he said, yes, it would be a Texas death match against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania in Texas.
Yeah. No, I do remember that. It was like interviewing Heyman, and it was funny because like the whole interview was very like shoot-esque, like not kayfabe. Like he was just being very cordial, talking to Heyman, like, you know, old friends and stuff. And the entire interview, and then this question I think came up at like the very end.
Yeah, it was like last 2 minutes.
Heyman, of course, you know, he has to represent Brock, so he's like, well, you know, you'd lose that match probably. And Stone Cold remembered, he was like, oh, I'm Stone Cold Steve Austin, and he was like, no, it's not gonna go down like that, Paul.
You're getting me pissed off. Yeah,
and they started getting heated a little bit.
The kayfabe machine just opened up in there, and they're like, I think Steve had the state of mind to be like, well, if this ever does happen, this will now be the thing that instigates it. So I guess
be a great like 10-second clip for WWE to put in the video package.
Yeah. So, now the reports, because of this confluence of the Kevin Owens promo where he dissed Texas, and because Stone Cold was featured in the Super Bowl ad for WrestleMania this year, reports are flying all over the place from the likes of Sean Ross Sapp and Fightful and less reputable people that WWE is trying to secure Austin for a match at WrestleMania. So, Tyler, what's going on here? Are we getting Austin versus Owens at Mania this year?
I mean,
is that going to happen? What are the odds that that is going to happen?
You can't say definitely no, especially nowadays. I just don't know. Here's the thing. If it happens, I would want it to be against Owens, I think. Because Kevin Owens is one of our favorites. He's an incredible worker, easily one of the best ones they have on the roster right now. And if you want someone who is going to look, don't get me wrong, Stone Cold Steve Austin is great, but I don't care if we've seen this even with Shawn Michaels, that if you spend enough time out of the ring, it might be a little rough when you come back. Yeah. So Austin hasn't wrestled a match in 19, 20 years. So you want someone in there who is going to sell for him, knows how to sell for him, and knows how it's going to make him look good, look just as good as he always was.
Yeah.
And for me, it's Kevin Owens is one of the names up there.
He is like the celebrity match whisperer now at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Like Miz and Morrison aside, I guess.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
KO has worked a lot of people who either haven't wrestled in a long time or have some sort of celebrity involvement. The Shane McMahons, the Daniel Bryansons, the Jake Paul, Logan Paul, whichever Paul it was.
One of those.
World. Yeah.
So for the sake of the match itself, I think Kevin Owens would be a great choice. I'm fairly confident even if Austin comes back, it's not going to be against Brock, at least not this year, because Brock and Roman is so set in stone, like it's not even an option.
Yeah.
So if we completely rule Brock out, then the only other logical choice is Kevin Owens at this point. Unless, you know, you want to bring back like Triple H or something like that, but it's just having two guys who haven't wrestled in quite some time just randomly show up and throw them in a match together with for no stakes, like
I could give you one other storyline, I guess. That's the other thing too, is like what is WWE laying down that Austin could slot into? And the Kevin Owens promo of like Texas is dumb seems like the most obvious like call out, although he didn't reference Stone Cold Steve Austin at all. He just
not
referenced
yet.
Texas.
I think they're waiting to get a little more concrete answer from Steve before they even hint at teasing it.
The other place you can throw him in is like with Drew McIntyre against Baron Corbin and Madcap Moss kind of thing. God. I'm not saying it would be great, but I'm saying that, like, it's a tag team match, so he's a little bit protected, even though I guess both of the members of that tag team need to be protected right now because of injury. Yeah. And, like, it would be against people that are monster heels, you know?
I don't know. It just, again, like, for me, this is akin to a CM Punk coming back thing. Not for the same reasons, but just the time he's been away. Like, I personally have not watched Stone Cold Steve Austin wrestle since I was 12.
Yeah. So. And, like, we should say, even at that point, from the broken neck with Owen Hart, who Kevin Owens is named after, since that pile driver gone awry, Stone Cold never worked the same way again. You were never watching him for work rate. You're not, like, he would have long matches, but he's not, like, whipping out more than 12 moves in those. Right. Those are fights. And it worked. I feel like he could work almost the exact same way that he did at his peak now, right? There's not a whole lot that he would have to take out of the playbook. I guess the story here, too, is that it's like stunner versus stunner in a way.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, like, yeah, if you even just think about Stone Cold's moveset, I mean, he can stomp some mud holes, he can hit a fez press. He can hit a fez press or two. Like, that's all you really need.
Yeah. I guess the thing here is I feel like there's a world where the more likely thing to happen is, like, Kevin Owens' story right now has not had Austin introduced to it. It's just that Kevin is not going to be booked on Mania. It seems like that's the story. He has no place on the card and he's taking it out on Texas. So in WrestleMania of years past, I feel like the more likely thing is that Kevin just, like, comes down to the ring at WrestleMania and it's like, I don't have a match tonight and I'm blaming it on all of you.
And you do the John Cena Undertaker spot?
Yeah, it's the John Cena Undertaker
He could even start calling out Stone Cold and being like, I challenged him to a match and he didn't answer me, and then Stone Cold shows up at Mania.
Yeah, it doesn't even need to be a match, honestly. It could just be a segment, but I guess the thing is, like, if you're going to have Austin get physical at Mania in Texas, you want to hype it up beforehand so that you can sell some more tickets.
Exactly. I was gonna say, you don't want it to be a surprise. So they can sell some tickets, because that's the other thing, is that reportedly WWE has been having a little tough time with the Mania tickets, doing a lot of, like, two nights for one deals and stuff like that. So
yeah, I mean,
Do you think announcing Steve Austin in a match is going to sell the rest of those tickets? Because
it could. I honestly do. Yeah, that's the biggest name they could add to this card to actually get people to come out in Texas specifically. I also, like, I want to say I have a bit of an issue with those reports about them having trouble selling tickets, because this is also, like, number of seats wise, one, like, the largest arena in the United States.
Yeah.
And they've only done this two-night thing with a live audience for 1 year now. So they, like I cut them some slack that they're trying to figure out how to do that, because that is new for them. Yeah. But on the other hand, this is what happens when you are selling a pay-per-view on a premium live event, and you're selling it on, it's two nights and you're only selling it on two matches, right? And you don't know, like, one of those two matches has not been confirmed yet, and you don't know what nights they're going to be on. So if you are going to just buy one ticket and you want to see Brock versus Roman, you want to make sure that you buy it by the right ticket, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
They need to just start locking in a lot more matches. And I mean, that will happen this weekend after Elimination Chamber. My hope is that if Kevin Owens versus Stone Cold Steve Austin happens at WrestleMania, that it will be more than a 3-minute match. It doesn't need to be more than, like, an 8-minute match, but I hope that it is an actual match. And
it is a match with entrances and a bell ringing, all
and
that
a back
good
and
stuff.
Forth. Like here's like Cena got no moves in against the Undertaker.
No, that right? was a squash.
And like, there's no way in kayfabe that Kevin Owens right now against a hasn't wrestled in a decade Steve Austin would get zero moves in.
Well,
no, there's no way. There's no way in kayfabe.
Well, I don't know, man. You can't bet anything on WWE, especially yeah. how much they value their old legends who come back and see Exhibit Goldberg. I mean,
yeah, I guess Goldberg did that to Owens, but Goldberg like is a different beast yeah. than Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I absolutely agree that if they're gonna pull this trigger and they're gonna do anything Austin Owens at Mania, I want it to be a match. I want there to be announced as a match. I want to lead up to it. I want yeah. entrances, bell ringing. I want them to lock up. I want it all.
Yeah, I agree. And also because like Owens, a lot of his value as a heel is like working headlocks while also antagonizing mm-hmm. the audience. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I want what there is, to be an opportunity for that to happen.
Yeah. Right now, what's your over under? What's the chance of this happening?
My, see that the I think because they don't have to do it as a actual bell to bell match is what like gives me pause. I would put the odds still at like plus, I'd say like plus 500 at this point, which mm-hmm. is like really good odds to bet on it right now, okay. to bet on okay. it to happen. Because that I'm saying it's still not that likely.
Yeah, yeah.
But the odds will probably go down between now and then. So.
All righty.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the biggest news of the week.
To even more confusing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So on February 15th, the official AEW Twitter account announced through a press release that Cody and Brandi Rhodes are leaving AEW. That's right. The executive vice president and the head of, oh, I can't remember what Brandi's
community
title
outreach
was. Community outreach director, inclusion something. It had a lot of those kind of corporate buzzwords in it.
Yes, yes.
That they are both leaving the company. And then Cody and Brandi confirmed this themselves the same day with their own statements through their own social media. Then every dirt sheet known to man started following up on leads from Sean Ross Sapp again that Cody is very much expected to sign with WWE. He has no non-compete, so he could show up on their TV tomorrow. He could show up in Saudi Arabia if he wanted to. Speculation and other reports have really run rampant in the 2 days since all this broke. People have claimed that this is an elaborate work. Other people have said that the main reason that this decision was made came down to money or a loss of creative control. Mm-hmm. Other people have said reports about like backstage attitudes that people have really had opinions about.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what got us to here. And we're going to discuss it. We have some questions written down, but we're going to kind of just see how this goes. Because there's a lot of things that make this interesting and yes. shocking. First question, I guess. Yeah, no, you go.
I was going to say, just specifically pertaining to everything that has been going on with Cody in the last couple months. Of
like storyline-wise, you mean?
Storyline-wise, yeah. Exactly. Of just the confusion around his character and like, where they even seem to be going, what kind of story mm-hmm. were they trying to tell? Like it was already a confusing situation. And because of that, this happening now, I think is the reason for all this even further confusion of people being like what is even happening?
Yeah. Like, well, the first question we had was what percentage is it that this might be a work.
Exactly. Right.
Do you have like a number you want to assign to that now?
Oh man. See, again, like when this news broke, I was talking to Sarah about it and I was literally like, I wasn't, I wasn't like even shocked. I wasn't upset. I wasn't excited. I was like angry. I was just like, I am so confused now, and this isn't fun.
Yeah.
like this is confusing to the point of like, I just don't even know what's going on. And mm-hmm. like that I don't, I'm fine. If in my wrestling, you know, a brand or someone wants to tell a very nuanced story or keep things really close to the chest so they can surprise you later on, I am totally cool with that. But in this situation, it has been so wild and so back and forth and so confusing that I don't know if this is a work. I truly don't know if this is a work.
Well, I'll chime in there and say I think there's a 1% chance that this is a work and a 99% chance that this is not how this story was supposed to end, which is why the story now doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right?
Exactly.
And I'll go a step further and say that if it is a work, it is really irresponsible storytelling. It is like, I'm going to sound like Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic mm-hmm. Park here, where it's like, you can decide to tell a pro wrestling story that
crazy meta story.
Yeah.
Like
that
this.
Involves company press releases and involves what would have to be either intentionally wrong reporting from people who report wrestling news, or it means you're lying to the journalist to get a story out to move on a storyline. And you could do that and it would be this big grandiose thing, but then you now ruin the credibility of this forever, and it then like other people, you know, life will find a way. It's the whole like, you spent so much time seeing if you could play God that you didn't stop to ask if you should. Yeah. We could just quote all of Jurassic Park. That is one big pile of shit.
Yeah. Cody's going to WWE. Cody's going to WWE. Yeah. See, nobody cares.
We got Dotson.
We got Cody.
Yeah. Going to remember to wash your hands before you eat again. Yeah.
But yeah, so this is my thing. Like, I don't. It's you bring up some great points. I'm probably leaning towards the fact that this is not a work now.
Yeah.
And because it is frustrating then to know that whatever crazy storyline they were trying to tell, we're not going to get that. Whatever even it may have been, we're not going to necessarily get it now. And I don't know. Like, I'm just frustrated by the whole situation, if anything.
Well, you're probably not the only one. I imagine TK and Cody Rhodes are very frustrated. So I guess that transitions nicely to why do we think this split happened?
Yeah.
But really quickly, before we get into that, I will say that something that I guess is part of why this is so surprising and shocking to both of us is that maybe the public understanding of what it meant to be the executive vice president of of AEW maybe was not what in actuality what we thought it was. Or like, I don't know why I assumed that they all had literal stock in the company.
Right.
That would make it hard for them to leave like this. Or maybe they did, and maybe Cody had to like sell it back, and that just hasn't been
so
reported.
I mean,
yeah.
My thing, if I had to, you know, pick the moments that would have led to this, I think that has something to do with it. Not necessarily on like the back end of like being an EP and, you know, owning stock in the company or things like that, but I think this probably starts back when AEW began. We knew that Cody and the Bucks and Kenny were executive, you know, producers, vice presidents or whatever. And we didn't really know what that meant. But at the time, it was reported that what came with that was booking power. They had a say in their storylines and the overall storylines that the company was going to tell. And very early into COVID, it was reported basically that Tony Khan had put the foot down and was like, that's no longer a thing. I am now the head booker. I decide everything.
We need to go. We have a place where the buck stops. No pun intended.
Exactly. Like,
yeah.
And so I think that is probably one of the big catalysts that for Cody, maybe not so much for the Bucks or Kenny, but I think for Cody, that was probably a huge thing of like, this isn't really what I signed up for, but you know, I mean, you're the boss, you're the money guy. I can't necessarily say no, I have a contract. So I think that might be one of the big catalysts.
What's fascinating about that to me though, like if reason number one of why I, Cody Rhodes, decide to leave AEW for WWE is because I want more creative control, is a fallacy of a statement, right? Like,
to go to WWE where you have zero
control.
Exactly. You might not even be Cody Rhodes. We're getting Stardust again.
Oh man.
So
I feel like that would have to be a deal breaker, like if he is WWE. But I'm getting ahead of myself. There's another big reason that maybe this happened.
Yes. So that is definitely, in my mind, probably one of the big catalysts, one of the first things that Cody thought to himself, I might not be sticking around. Two, definitely later on, I think this, again, like we said, the wild confusion with Cody's character and storyline in the past 6 months, year or so, and I think this is a weird situation where it's a organic problem that evolved through no fault of their own, in that, you know, Cody was the uber babyface of this company. He was supposed to be the John Cena, essentially, and that was fine for a time, but eventually, you know, and this probably, I think the point that people are trying to trace it back to when like this really first started happening, the fans turning on Cody, was the feud with Anthony Ogogo.
Yeah.
The horrible match they had, and just the fans' backlash towards the feud, towards
tone
the match.
Tone deaf feud. Yeah.
Exactly. And so that being the catalyst for, you know, the fans kind of turning on Cody and not liking him getting boos and stuff. So that's not their fault. That's not TK's fault. That's not Cody's fault. Is it the fans' fault, maybe a little bit? Huh?
Is it the fans' fault if you literally boo Cody out of the building?
I guess so, but more, not so much placing fault. It is their fault in that they, in my opinion, did not respond in the appropriate way. In that, if your face is getting booed, you gotta turn him heel. I'm sorry. Did you guys not watch WWE for the past like 7 years and see the Roman experiment?
Yeah.
Like, Roman is now a heel and he's the best he's ever been. Mm-hmm. So there are reports that, of course, Cody was actively fighting against this. He was pushing back. In those promos that where he said on TV, I'm never going to turn heel, he meant that. And not because for some story thing, but like he personally didn't want to turn heel, specifically due to the charity work and the community outreach stuff that him and Brandy do for the company. I get that. It makes sense. It's kind of hard for you to go to a charity event and, you know, have little children happy to see you when you play like a real piece of shit on TV. Like, so I get that, but you gotta understand like your position, my man. Like, you're a professional wrestler, and if you're gonna say to yourself you're only gonna be a face, period, like, you are severely limiting yourself, your potential, your value to your company, like everything.
We're gonna get into value to the company in a second, but this is another one of those things where that makes sense as a reason to be dissatisfied. But again, like, to leave AEW because they were going to make you be a heel to go to WWE again seems like, I don't see a world where he's not a heel.
Here's the thing. What do we think? And maybe this might be a question later. What do we think is the chances that he's actually going back to WWE?
100.
You don't
think? Okay, sorry. 99.
But still, I mean, you don't think there's a chance he goes to Impact, maybe hits up New Japan or no.
I think he will be at WWE, maybe on SmackDown. or maybe on Monday. Like I don't see him being in Saudi Arabia just because that is like a logistical problem.
Yeah, it's a logistical problem, but also again, like this goes back to my whole thing of like, look, man, if you were so adamant about protecting your character to be a good guy and all this shit, like if you're I can't personally support if you're going to then go to Saudi Arabia. So
yeah,
that's besides the point.
I mean, it's all about getting a bag, and like, we'll get to our WWE booking of Cody in a second, yeah. But I want to say that to me, and this is sad, but I think it is the truth. Mm-hmm. I think it will come out as the truth that the number one A reason that this happened was money.
Really?
Okay. I really deeply believe that. And I think it's tied to the two Cody's as a person, his Cody Runnels, his desire to be the best wrestler. And I think it is like tied to his ego in a good way, mm-hmm. that he is striving to be the best, and in a company that he helped start, he wants to be the focal point.
Yeah.
And there's also the reports out there that it's like the old Kevin Nash WCW problem happened, where mm-hmm. when him and Hall and Hogan came into WCW, they had it in their contract that you could pay other people more. Like, you could decide to be like, okay, we're going to pay, like, they're being paid $1 million and now they're going to pay $2 million because they want to bring in Bret Hart. But then you had to then bump up Kevin and Hall and Hogan to $2 million. And this is like
they can only be paid as much as the most expensive contract.
Like, and this was a thing that helped to sink WCW.
Yes.
We realized that AEW went through a spending boon, and that Tony Khan's been pretty upfront that a lot of people are going to be released or have their contracts run out soon. Mm-hmm. It seems that CM Punk is the highest paid person in the company at around $3 million. And it seems that Cody was asking to be paid $3 million and $1 million.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not that petty specific of a number, but wanted to be the highest paid person in the company. Wanted that to still be true. And TK said no, and he called his bluff.
Yeah.
I mean, so it seems to me that it's about money, because WWE could easily pay that.
Easily, yeah. See, here's my thing. If it's... that does make sense, and you are probably right. That probably is what it comes down to. And it's more annoying in that sense, because I could almost slightly rationalize it more if it was Cody was like, no, I deserve more money purely because, like, you know, this is my value. But it's probably not. It's probably that, well, he's getting more money than me, so mm-hmm. I want more money. Like, and that's just fucking petty. So
but it is about like your place in the company.
Yeah.
And I can see a world where, like, if suddenly you don't have the fan response that you want to your character, mm-hmm. and suddenly you don't have as much control over your character as you did before, and you're like, wait a minute, this was my company, and now it seems like it's someone else's company.
Right.
I can see where then, like, money becomes the thing that breaks the back, where, like, you literally finally see the confirmation of your worries that you are not as valuable to them as you believe you are.
You see quantifiably how valuable you are to them. Like,
yeah. But so, if I were TK, though, I would say, like, well, you're not going to be the highest paid person for wrestling, but he has to be the highest paid person based on also the deal with Roads to the Top with Go Big Home
Go Big Show,
because those don't happen in my mind if AEW does not get the deal TNT.
So,
you know, like,
this is maybe a later question, but I don't know what's going to happen with all that stuff, because Roads to the Top was just renewed for a second season. That is,
I imagine Warner Media is pissed. I think this is the worst. Like it seems like the split between TK and mm-hmm. Cody is pretty amicable, but this is like a mess that he left
because they have to deal with that. I'm not sure what's up with the Go Big show, or if like there was, you know, another season planned or what have you on that. But the, like, I don't see Turner wanting a WWE contracted superstar on one of their programs, I guess. I mean,
no, 0%, because they're also, they're not just at war with a different wrestling company. They're at war with NBC.
Yeah.
So, like, no, there's no way that they can do Rhodes to the top.
See, and it's,
but it raises his value to WWE, who you know, value Miz super high because of his reality show drawing power. And, like, that is a real loss for AEW to lose that reality show on TNT, because it brings in a totally different audience
crowd,
who's now familiar with your people. So
it's annoying, because, like, again, like, it's just, it's adding more things of, like, this split, like we said, like, probably is just caused a mess right now in terms of contracts with Turner and all of that stuff. And again, if this is all ultimately coming back to Cody feeling like he deserves more in this company, like, it's just more frustrating and more annoying of being like, all right, Cody, you are being unreasonable right now in my mind. Like,
it's really disappointing.
I can't imagine how difficult it is to, in a specific, you know, sort of medium entertainment business like the wrestling business, I can't imagine how difficult it is to be able to look at where your standing is from, like, an outside perspective. Like, that's got to be really difficult, because you're gonna have sort of biases in your own mind about how you value yourself and how you think you should be valued. But right now, if Cody genuinely thinks that he is as valuable to that company as a CM Punk or Bryan Danielson, like, I'm sorry, man. Like, you're not. Like,
yeah.
And, like, you should know that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I imagine he probably looks at it the way that AJ Styles looked at it when he left Impact, which was also really shocking, where you had someone who has a character is associated with the brand overall. And the difference here is that AJ was asked to have his pay cut in half, I think, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
when
yeah.
Impact was really downsizing,
it was a massive,
like, I can't
cut
do
is
it.
What it was, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess then let's transition then into what we know what his value in AEW is. He was valuable as a corporate sponsor.
Yeah,
he was valuable in these other endeavors as the person at Upfronts, as a face of the company to corporate, in a way that Tony Khan is just not as charismatic, right? And he is an incredibly valuable wrestler, but not as valuable in the ring as your CM Punks and your Bryan Danielsons. How much does he have, more or less value in WWE right now?
Way less value.
Interesting. Yeah.
Like, again, yes, there's always going to be the initial boost of the shock of Cody going back to WWE. And yeah, maybe WWE does care about his storyline for a month. But WWE has proven time and time again that the temporary surge, the temporary boost, is, it will never last. And I'm sorry, in three months Cody is going to be jobbing out to Omos. I'm calling
it. Yeah, wow. Okay, this is exciting, because I've listened to a lot of wrestling voices.
If he even is Cody anymore, Stardust is going to
be
jobbing out.
He'll
to
be
almost.
Cody. I feel like he would be, like, ready to sign the contract, and is like, you're not going to make me be Stardust, right? Like, put it in there, like, that I can't be Stardust. I think he has tremendous value right now in the eyes of Vince McMahon, as being like, we can sign the most shocking person we could. Like, this is what it would have been like to sign Jeff Jarrett away from Impact when it was just starting, right?
Sure.
Where you take out the soul and the name associated with your competitor that you were not able to kill last year, and that maybe this does actually cause enough of a mess that it really hurts AEW for a bit. I think that's possible, and it is a thing that Vince could see, and there is value in bringing in the AEW guy, putting him on TV, and being like, I'm so happy to be in the big leagues again.
Sure, yeah. But the initial thing.
That's what I agree with you 100% that...
That goes away in a month.
Yeah, and I was going to say that I've listened to a lot of wrestling people that I respect who have been like, well, he comes into WWE right now and he's instantly going to be a top-tier guy. And that seems crazy to me. I think there's no way... Like, he will probably have a big WrestleMania match. I imagine you bring him in before WrestleMania for the same reason you bring Stone Cold in, that you need to sell those two nights, right?
Yeah.
It totally ruins our WrestleMania prognostication because we didn't realize these two people were on the table.
We didn't book Stone Cold or Cody. Foolish.
Yeah. But like, I agree with you that I feel like he will not be on the SummerSlam card.
No.
He won't even be on it.
Nope.
Like they had Cody Rhodes playing Cody Rhodes for a number of years, and they were the ones who trained him. He had no indie stuff. He was a WWE person.
It's homegrown, a legacy of like one of
your... In legacy.
In legacy. Like you had...
Yeah. And Vince didn't seem interested in him then.
Yeah.
And I guess you could say he did the Drew McIntyre thing where he like had promise, left, proved, like became a bigger star, and then they brought him back in to be...
Yeah.
Bigger the way they did with Drew, the way they did with Bobby. I don't see it here at all. He's like half the size of those guys.
When we were talking about Sarah, so this is a really great idea. Yeah. She said on his entrance, you know how they do like the big CG, like Roman has like the big CGI Roman.
Oh god, that's the worst looking CGI.
They're gonna do a giant CGI of his neck tattoo.
They need to. They have to because it's there.
Oh god.
Yeah, like I agree with you that I feel like he has tremendous value right now, and that I don't believe it if Vince is like, I see future world champion money in him. Mm-hmm. No.
Maybe like the secondary, you know, WWE championship or something when Bobby is shuffling it around between people. Maybe because
I mean, even
Miz was WWE champion for a week last year, so maybe.
Do you see being more in favor in Vince's eyes?
Well, definitely. Who is more valuable? Miz never left.
Yeah,
that's the other option. We're not taking it the effect that like, is Vince gonna like be like, I'm gonna punish this fool for leaving. Like,
that's the other thing.
I'll bring him in and, you know, treat him nice for a month, and then I'm burying the crap out of this fool for leaving.
For every Drew and Bobby in recent times of people who left, got bigger, and then came back, how many people have come in who made their names really? Because I guess he was in WWE for just as long, if not longer, than he was in AEW. But Cody Rhodes.
No. Wasn't Cody was in WWE for like six to eight years?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like he was there. He was actually there for longer. But
yeah.
When you bring in Cody Rhodes, you're bringing in AEW. You're bringing in someone who's made a star outside of WWE.
Yeah.
I guess AJ Styles has worked recently. I guess, is that like the ceiling for Cody? Because how many other people have they brought in?
He can reach AJ Styles level.
I don't either, but that is like in a dream world.
Yeah.
The best it's going to get.
I don't know. I think the best it's going to get for Cody is going to be he could show up like tomorrow or, you know, very soon. It'll be a huge shock. He's going to be immediately put into a pretty high-profile thing. He'll have a great spot
at WrestleMania.
He'll have a great spot at WrestleMania. And then after that, he is going to be... We're going to see him chasing after the 24/7 title.
Like, yeah, he'll kick Bobby Roode out of the Dirty Dogs and be...
Yeah.
And that with Ziggler. that's what I'm gonna say then. It's like for every
what
other person, like there is a million Shinsuke's and mm-hmm. Gallows and Andersons
Bobby
and
Roode.
EC3's, Bobby Roode's, Sting, Booker
Shoot,
T and
Finn
Buff
Balor
Bagwell, Finn Balor. Yeah, there are these people who come in because they've made a name elsewhere and they are sometimes
treated,
very
treated
openly
really good for a really short time.
Yeah. I don't like, he's going to make a shit ton of money. He's going to sign a really big contract right now.
But what if they drop him in like 7 months?
I don't think they would drop him.
WWE has come to terms
on
the release of Cody Rhodes. We wish him the best in his future endeavors.
Well, I feel like they'll keep him because they will.
Budget cuts.
I imagine that they will try to make their own reality show with him and Brandy.
With him and Brandy.
It might not be called Roads to the Top.
Yeah,
but it'll
well, that's
be
the
like,
other thing. Do you think Brandy is also going to get hired?
I've heard no.
That's what I've heard, yeah.
But I could see her being in the reality show. She doesn't need to be active wrestler to, and she can show up to
There's
be
in,
his
like,
valet without
Total
being,
Bellas and stuff like that.
Yeah, so I think it's going to happen, though. Who does he wrestle at Mania? Because we assume he's going to be there.
Cody versus Seth is not a bad option.
To be the rightful heir of Triple H.
That, and also, like, you know, Seth has always been a very outspoken WWE flag bearer. And defending them online and stuff, and despite all of their myriad of problems. So that could be a possibility. Depending what, if anything, is going to come of this Matt Riddle situation, I think Cody versus Randy Orton could be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's telling a really cool story, calling back to the history that they have. But
that's kind of it. That I see.
Kind of it, yeah, yeah.
I don't know who else.
That's kind of it.
Makes immediate sense in the interim. So maybe he goes after Finn Balor as like Finn? Having to literally have him bury the Elite in a way.
That's so weird.
Okay, here's the other question then, I guess, is Cody comes out. He's given the mic in WWE. Does Vince make him shit on AEW? Is that like how he's presented? Do they reference the competition and he's like, happy I'm out of there, man?
I don't think they'll reference the competition outright, but it's very possible that Cody says something akin to, you know, like, like you were saying, like, man, I'm so glad to be back in the big leagues where real wrestling happens. Or, you know, some bullshit like that.
Yeah. But it's a missed opportunity because
I don't think he's going to be like, man, AEW sure did suck. Like,
yeah. If I were Vince, I'd be like, that's what I'm paying you to do.
That's what I'm paying you to say.
But I feel like that is like a forest for the trees thing. If you really want Cody to be a cool, hip asset for you long time, You steal the good thing that WCW did, and you have Cody come in, and you have him come in as an AEW invasion. You have him be the outsider and continue to have him say anti-WWE stuff, and suddenly he's the coolest person in WWE.
I mean, that could work.
Yeah.
I don't think...
There's enough... You have him lead a faction of disgruntled people who should be doing better.
Cody,
like you,
Mustafa Ali.
Oh my gosh.
People who actually want to leave that company.
To do a Cody, Mustafa, Cesaro, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor faction.
People like, who actively, openly want to leave.
Would be outstanding. Like everything that they would have written up to have CM Punk do if they could have got him to return, just hand that to Cody and suddenly they're cool.
I mean, I think that would work, but I don't think WWE has the
acumen. Like
the acumen. I was gonna say like the wherewithal to fucking do it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to. They don't want to even chance the possibility of getting over an act that is actively shitting on them. You know.
Sure, but like you could, if you have like a contingent of AEW like people on the roster running roughshod, you can conceivably steal over a bunch of the viewers of AEW.
Yeah.
Legitimately. And that would be so detrimental to AEW. That would be a real problem.
Yeah.
So you could do that.
Well, I mean, that is a great question, or a great segue to our next question, Andrew.
Yeah. I don't even know where we are in the questions.
Does this
right now
mark a turning point in the war between AEW and WWE?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going
to. Do you think it's going to cause more AEW people to switch the channel over?
I mean, I've been watching more weekly WWE programming the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I will say, I feel like they have started
it's the road to WrestleMania.
I think that the shows have been better than they were maybe like 6 months to a year ago. Like they've really, I think, because of the depleted roster, I think it has actually kind of forced them to be
a little more focused.
Yeah, more specific. They've done more with undercard people like Chad Gable recently. And sorry, my cat's really going crazy at all this talk. But I think that like the beginning of like competition forcing them to put on better shows has happened. I think NXT 2.0 has been more focused too, and they kind of know who they're going with there.
Yeah.
And even if it frustrates me as a fan, I can see coherent storylines and good matches happening there and on Raw and on SmackDown. I think that this is definitely the biggest positive that WWE has over AEW so far. I think, you know what? You should put him on. You should put him on the Broken Skull Session podcast immediately after he debuts.
Yeah.
Have your own, you know, Cody Rhodes shoots on AEW.
Yeah, it's the reverse Talk is Jericho.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's honestly like, that would be more value too. Like you got to tune into Peacock really to hear what he has to say about that other place.
That would be very good.
Yeah. I think it will have seismic immediate value to WWE. It could certainly be a domino that starts other dominoes happening.
Well, I mean, we did say like that there is about to be a, you know, somewhat of a prominent exodus of AEW superstars when their contracts run out. So
are there other people you think are hopping over?
I don't know if they're going there, but I do think there are people who time has shown that AEW is like Tony Khan's probably not going to renew those contracts.
Yeah.
People like, you know, Joey Janela, like that
but Joey Janela's got it. Like he's got a job. He's fine with GCW. Like,
he will have
a home base.
Yeah. I saw a interview or report or something from him where he was talking about his AEW contract because he still has one, and he was just like, yeah, I just collect that money, and like I don't even know what's going on with that. So
yeah, they're not going to release people the way that WWE did. They're going to let contracts
which is probably better. I mean, you know, you're paying them the money that was promised essentially, but yeah. I don't know. I think there is a possibility that a lot of people who AEW hired at the onset because they couldn't get the people they wanted will now be let go because they got the people they wanted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if this inner circle implosion angle is any indication, I don't think Jake Hager has much like longevity left in that company.
I think he does have a Bellator fight coming up. So he certainly looked like he was looking
in great shape.
But he also doesn't need to be. I think he probably works like limited dates, honestly. Yeah. Like this is just a thing for him to do. Jericho's locked up for 2 more years.
Yeah.
I've seen that one floated a lot. I mean, I'm trying to think now who you can make an AEW faction with in WWE, and you could do like Brian Cage and Cody
is gone pretty much.
I'm trying to think if there's like a tag team that I feel like there is a world where I don't know how long his contract is, but Andrade is one that could you could always hop back over if you're with Charlotte Flair.
If they don't do anything with him soon, I feel like he's gonna get very much like, "What did I come here for?" Like,
yeah.
They haven't done jack with him.
He's had some great TV matches, like, but he has not had a pay-per-view big match.
No, he had two good television matches with Pac, and that was it.
He had a great match with Cody, where he got a flaming table.
Okay.
They've had some other good stuff. They're doing fun stuff with Pac, but yes, right now. But that's one. Yeah.
But like we're saying, the point is, I do think there is going to be some AEW people who are suddenly going to be available for WWE to pick up if they were interested.
What would be worrying for AEW, I feel like, is if one of those were one of their young people. I think that's actually like who they want to protect at all costs.
It would be, but it would have to be one of the young people who AEW clearly cares about.
Oh, yeah. But yeah.
I don't think those people are going anywhere. Your MJFs, your Darbys, your Jungle Boys, your Sammy Guevaras. I don't think they're going anywhere.
No. Although, man, if I were WWE, I'd try to scoop Sammy. That would be
good. Honestly, I mean, like we were saying, if they could get MJF, that would be the biggest.
Yeah, but I don't see him going anywhere.
No.
Where do we even go from here? It's kind of like the two more questions. Okay. What adjustments does AEW make in a now Cody free world? What changes in Dynamite week to week?
Can I be real with you?
Yeah, please do.
Nothing.
Yeah. If nothing. This week's Dynamite was any indication, it's nothing.
Changes. Because you know why? Because why? The last 6 months of Cody's storyline have not made any damn sense.
I'll go beyond that. That's not that it doesn't make sense, but it's easy to cut out of the show because Cody has always had his own Cody verse, right?
And
his story has seemed very separate from the rest of the show. Like when it's gone, you don't realize
Cody,
it's gone.
Exactly. Yes, we've said this. Well, lots of people have said this before. Like the Cody segments and Dynamites always felt like they almost weren't a part of Dynamite.
Yeah.
They were so different and so like isolated. It just felt like this isn't even part of the show. I don't know what this is. So
it was very pleasant to me that there was no negative on-air mention of Cody. There was no like heels or faces shooting on like, oh, well, that guy is gone
right
now.
Yeah.
They mention his name in the first segment because they're like, oh, dog collar match that has only happened here once.
Cody Rhodes.
Between Cody and
Brody Lee.
And like, that's great. I love that he will not be like a dead name, but not be someone that they fun at.
Yeah, I don't think AEW would do that in general.
Like, I hope not.
They seem like a mature enough company to not fall into that same WWE fallacy of being like, we can't even mention people who don't work here. Like, I think they can respect it enough to be like, whether you're here or not, like we're here and you did great work for us then. So
I hope that if and when Cody goes on WWE programming and shoots on AEW, that AEW does not have Tony Khan come out and make the Eric Bischoff mistake of like challenging Vince to a match or like shooting back across the bow. You gotta leave them be. You gotta leave them be. Gotta keep them separated. I think day to day on air, it's business as usual. And they move forward without Cody and they have their stories set up. I think behind the scenes there's gonna be some changing needing to happen with Warner.
Absolutely.
Like they gotta massage that. Like who do you throw to replace him on Go Big Show?
You just lost an executive vice president and your head of community outreach or whatever.
Yeah. Although it seems Amanda Huber's taken over for that.
Okay.
Which I think is a great, great call.
Yes, good call. I do like that.
Yeah.
So I on screen it's gonna be seamless, but.
Yeah, you need someone to do the press and PR, and it's probably going to fall on the heads of the biggest names like Punk or Daniel Bryan.
I was going to say, who do you think is going to be AEW's new crossover person, because it was Cody. Cody was the guy who, you know, they sent to host TV shows and have a reality show about him and all this stuff. Who are they? They need someone now.
You could do a reality show with Renee and John if they wanted, although I don't feel like they would want to.
I'd watch the hell out of that, though.
Or you could just do with Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan. You steal our show, we're going to steal yours.
Yeah, that's a potential.
Yeah, I feel like you could like divide and conquer. It doesn't need to be one person. The Big Show could go be a guest on Big Show. Like, that would be fine. Although John Moxley would work there too for being a daredevil kind of person. I think Jericho has already been this person. Like, Jericho's the one who they sent to be on the NBA food. On TNT and on that food thing, which I watched it for at least one segment after that. So, like, they have enough people who could hit very specific pockets for them.
I think one day it's gonna be Jungle Boy.
Yeah.
But just like not yet.
Yeah. But he makes perfect sense.
He has that crossover of his dad being an entertainment and an actor. So I think one day Jungle Boy will be like the entertainment face of AEW, but he's just not quite ready.
Yeah. Then let's finish. We're almost at the hour mark. Let's finish with this last question then.
All right.
If this is the last time that we ever see Cody in AEW, what will his legacy in the company be?
I do think that Cody was, again, Cody started this company. He was one of the major reasons. I mean, you could argue like Cody is the initial reason this company exists because of the whole Twitter thing with what's his face, Meltzer, and, you know, starting All In and all that. So I mean, it's very possible that to me is like his biggest impact, that he started this. Essentially, Cody put on great matches, but again, Cody has never been known as the best in-ring wrestler.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you very much that like the legacy he will have is that thanks to his willingness to put his money where his mouth is, by having the wrestling legacy that he has, by being the person wandering the earth when he was wandering the earth, and by making connections and friendships with people in the promotions that he did, that, like, you know, okay, Deli, we get it. I'm trying to be poignant. My cat is piping in. That without Cody Rhodes, in the way that he was and the time that he was, that AEW doesn't metastasize, does not become a thing. He is the big bang of the universe that is AEW.
Yeah.
And even if he fell out of favor in booking or in payment at a certain point, like, he is still, no matter what, going to be responsible for a heavy amount of the success of this company long after he's gone. Like, here's like a thing is that, like, we were super pumped when AEW started because of all the names at the top. It was the first match, like, first match on Dynamite was Sammy Guevara and Kip Sabian, maybe.
The very first match on Dynamite?
I think that was it.
Was Sammy versus Cody.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yep. Got that wrong. Well, that's going to prove my point, is that there are so many people who are on the initial AEW roster who I could not tell apart from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the only like new person who came in already with some some juice was MJF, but not a lot of juice, just some juice.
Yeah.
And all of those pillars that we talked about, all of those people got put over by Cody. Pretty initially, like, Cody putting a young guy over was the the gatekeeping that sent them into a person that we started to care about as an audience.
Yep.
And maybe Darby would have got there eventually. Maybe Jungle Boy would have got there eventually. And MJF and Sammy. But like the main event on Dynamite last night, in a week after we got Keith Lee and Switchblade, and where we've got, you know, Adam Cole versus Adam Page is like a thing that's going to happen. And like maybe John Moxley and Dean, or not John Moxley and Dean Ambrose, John Moxley Dean and Moxley. Bryan Danielson are going to be together. All this stuff was precursor to the main event that was Sammy versus Darby. And I was super pumped and excited to watch those two wrestle, but they were both made by Cody.
Yeah.
So I think that's the legacy to me.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. I have, so now I have two questions
Great.
For you.
Yeah, overtime questions.
Yes, overtime questions. What are the chances that one day we see Cody back in AEW?
I think they're pretty high. In fact, I would be willing to say, like, how long do you think a WWE contract will be with him? I would imagine you don't do 1 year. You do at least 2 years to prevent this from happening, right? I think the next place that he will have a contract after WWE will be AEW. I think he will come home. That will be a thing that happens.
Sure. That's fair. All right. Last question.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is the farthest out there.
Great.
What are the chances Cody does not sign with any wrestling company? not even to be an independent guy.
Yeah.
What if this is Cody Rhodes' foray into the acting world and or the political world and or what have you?
I guess we should have mentioned that he had said something about wanting to run for office. I don't know what office he was talking about, but that seems strange to me. Before all of this reporting that like his deal with WWE seems like a done thing, I would have said that he was going to be done with wrestling.
Yeah.
That he had other things in the works. Mm-hmm. But now it seems like he's grabbing that bag. So I think it's very likely that there's more wrestling in his future. And also, like, I always felt like he could become just like a household actor in the next few years if he wanted to, but then he got that tattoo. And I really think that cratered it. That really did. That really lowered his value. Like, you don't get a neck tattoo.
You can.
So bright, too.
It is. Yeah. And it's so just bad. But, I mean, you can. Cody
cover
can
that up.
Afford to pay for the makeup to cover that up every shoot, but
well, not according to some dirt sheet reporters about the need for money,
but
that's
so
slinging mud. So
maybe he is in the works to get a co-starring role with Stephen Amell.
Yeah,
and, you know,
getting that DC universe,
or Heels season 2 or something like that.
Well, I don't know. CM Punk is on that show. So that's if you're going to cast him, you better pay him as much as you're going to pay CM Punk.
That's true.
To be on the show. Yeah, but no, right. I think it's always going to be a possibility that he just becomes a entertainment personality outside of wrestling. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got the ability to do that, honestly, for real, I think. So, all right. Well, that's where we're at. We didn't talk at all about the Saudi Arabia about Elimination Chamber, and that's exactly how I like it.
Yep, yep. I prefer not
I will
to.
Not be watching, but we will talk about what happens outside of it. So Thank you. This has been great. As a reminder,
we had a lot of questions and I still have more.
Oh yeah. None were
what
answered.
Is happening.
but I feel like they're gonna be answered pretty quickly. I feel like 2 weeks from now we will go from knowing one match at WrestleMania so far to knowing like
two or three.
I think we'll know a lot in the next 2 weeks. So stay tuned, people. As a reminder, if you want us to answer your questions in the Kayfabe 550, submit them to us on our website, muchadowrestling.com, or on Twitter at @adowrestling, or you can email them to us directly at muchadowrestling@gmail.com. As always, we leave you with the words of the immortal William Shakespeare. If wrestling be the food of love, fight on.
I give it all away, I give it all away.
We didn't even get into whether or not he's going to